Hey guys, John Henry Spann here. There's a great episode coming up. Please be sure to leave us a like and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Everybody, this is John Henry Spann, and today on Honest to God, we meet with veteran panelist Tessa as she shares her conversion story. Find out how God used a disordered cohabitation with her boyfriend and relationship with an engaged man to teach Tessa a painful lesson. Tessa's story promises to be inspiring after her consecration to Mary turns into a 9-month novena and transforms Tessa from a worldly person into the beautiful daughter of God that she was all along. Join us as we unpack her trauma and learn about how Tessa's prayerful actions led her into God's kingdom. All this and more coming up on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. You're listening to Honest to God. Super pumped to be here today. We got Tessa in the house, rocking and rolling. It's going to be killer. We got a conversion stories episode today. We're once again broadcasting live from the Ark here in Baku, Azerbaijan. That's right, the capital of the former Soviet Republic. Here on the banks of the Caspian Sea. It's beautiful. If only you could see out of these windows, but for contractual reasons, we cannot show the skyline of Baku, I'm afraid. But we can show you Tessa, who's here today, and in a minute, we're going to dive into her conversion story, but first, yes. She's going to pray for us and give us just one fun fact that's not related to your life. Is that possible?
That's not related to
because you're about to do, like just a random fun fact. Like, do you know, like, something neat about jellyfish or something?
Oh, God.
You can think about it while you're praying.
Make one up.
That'd be fine, too. No one will know.
Okay.
No one will have any idea.
Okay, great.
Do you mind starting us in prayer
Let's
first?
Let's do it. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, God the Father. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We pray that you would just open our hearts up to your love, to your voice. Pray that you would just work through our weakness today, especially mine as I share my story. That would only be your words, Lord. Pray for everyone watching and listening, that you would just share your love onto them. Pray this all with Our Lady's intercession and St. Michael's intercession. Let's pray in Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Didn't do the Hail Mary this time.
94, which is gives you, like, with the 5-point bump. It's a 94.
Oh, yes.
A 94.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
It was solid.
Great.
If you hadn't finished with an Our Father, if you'd finished with, like, some weird prayer I'd never heard before.
Oh, I should have done
or,
that.
Or, like, some more freelancy Protestant-y stuff, then I would have given you the extra point to get you to, like, a straight 90. But instead, it was an 89 plus the girl bump. So you got a 94, yes. Which
this
is totally respectable.
Praise God.
Yeah. You killed it. Okay. Fun fact, you got one?
Okay. Fun fact, let's say, did you know that monkeys could stand on their head for 10 seconds?
Is that a made up fun fact?
That's a made up fun fact.
Did you know that babies are really good at holding their breath if you throw them face first into water? I'm serious.
Is this a real
thing.
Fun fact?
Yes, it's a real fun fact.
Wow.
Babies have, you know what I'm talking about. Have you heard of this? Like, babies are able to hold their breath for a ridiculous amount of time. Like, you should not test this on your baby, but they, it's something about, like, the mammalian dive reflex. Yeah. Google the mammalian dive reflex. It's like a thing. Babies are better at it than we are, but if you,
interesting.
Yeah. Like, go face first in the water for, they can hold their breath for a ridiculous amount of time.
I wonder if that's because, like, they don't know anything yet. So it's just like the instincts are, it's like purely instinct. Cause, like, with us, it's like we have our mind and the instincts, but, like, maybe they're just like.
Well, it's like I don't think I'm making this story up. The guy who, who fell out of an airplane and survived, and it was because he was, like, disgustingly drunk when he fell out of the airplane. You know the story?
I've heard this before.
Yeah.
I think if it's fake, then I haven't heard this before.
Something about him, like, I don't know. Something about him having no idea what was going on was good for him. There was no brace for the impact. I don't know. We're not.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't teach anthropology here on on Honest to God. Would that be anthropology? What would that be? Physiology? Yeah. Physiology. Anthropology would be like the study of man, but not.
After the man has died, I think is anthropology.
Yeah. Sure. That sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of testologies here on Honest to God.
Love it.
And today we're doing testology all day long. We're going to be talking about you. And this is going to be a conversion story episode, which means we're probably going to outrun the radio time. We'll try not to, but we tend to. Doing my best to make producer Julian over there happy.
Oh, you're doing a good job. It's okay.
Am I? Okay. Yep. Good. Yep. And also, I apologize in advance. I got a horrible cough today. I'm hacking up a lung over here.
Hey, you're here. Praise God.
You rocking the monstrance earrings again? Heck yeah.
Thank you.
I dig it. So Tess is a longtime friend of the show from the beginning, right? From a long time ago.
It's been a year
or so, right? At least.
I think so, yeah.
I think your first episode was with Bella forever.
Probably. Love her. Yeah. She's my girl.
Big fan.
Hey, Bella. Love you.
So let's... We'll get to who you are right now.
Okay.
But I want to go back in time a ridiculous amount and talk about little brand new baby, 7 pound, 4 ounce Tessa.
I love it. Okay.
I just made that up. Were you 7 pounds, 4 ounces when we were born? Do you know?
Maybe.
Just go with yeah.
Yeah. We were.
People always ask me that question about my kids is if I have any idea how much they weighed when they were born. I don't know. They were like normal, like baby size.
Yeah. Six or 7 pounds, you know?
No, yeah.
But we'll go with it. Yeah.
All right. So little baby Tessa, can you just talk about early on sort of family and upbringing and all of that good stuff?
Yes. Okay. So I was actually baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm. Not right out of the womb, almost. We had a few months. So my mom's Catholic. I'm not sure what my dad is. maybe Methodist. They decided to baptize me Catholic. And I remember like growing up and we didn't have, Christmas, Easter Mass.
Sure. Yeah.
So we were that kind of family. And I have like these kind of subtle memories of like being in Mass and like seeing people receive communion and stuff. But other than that, there was not much of the faith in my life. But I do remember also having an option to do First Communion when that time came.
Right.
And I was a dancer at the time too. So I was like, no, Mom, I want to go dance and not take these dumb classes that are boring in my head when I'm in first grade.
Okay.
That's how.
Did you do them though?
I didn't end up doing them. No.
All right. So this is my first of many rabbit holes I'll probably run down while we're on the show.
Let's do it.
Very few things bother me more than parents. I'm not attacking your parents. Yeah. I'm attacking Western civilization in general, right? Who prioritize whatever it is above actual faith stuff, right? And I hear that. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to Mass because I had like a soccer tournament. Nobody cares.
Right,
nobody cares about your soccer tournament.
No,
right?
Literally. Yeah.
Mom and dad, please parent. Once again, I'm not attacking your parents.
No,
I can tell very similar stories, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you went like nominally Catholic. When you went to church, was it a Catholic church growing
up? Yeah, it was a Catholic church always. I remember at least until like middle school, which we can get to, but never with my family. Anytime it was with my family, it was Catholic. So.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm in Woodstock, Georgia.
Okay,
so cool. St. Michael's was like the home parish. Yeah.
Love St. Michael. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Father Larry over there.
Yes, we love Father Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And I don't know the priest who baptized me. I don't think Father Larry was there yet, but I might have been Monsignor or something.
I'm not even sure. I don't think I know who my godparents are, actually, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
I know I have an uncle that's a godparent, and my other godparent has passed away.
Okay.
She was a family friend. But yeah, so.
Okay, so you grew up. Woodstock area.
Yes.
Really nominally Catholic sort of upbringing as a little kid. Mm-hmm. And was there any like moral formation there aside? Like, did you ask questions to mom and dad about God stuff or
not at
just
all.
Wasn't a thing?
It was not a thing. We were very like immersed into like school and just like, I mean, very like, I want to say like secular, but like day to day life. Like I'm a dancer. My whole life was pretty much like dance. So I would eat, sleep, breathe, go to school and then go to dance in the afternoon. So we didn't have like much time for like that. And then again, my mom was like, her whole family is Catholic, but I don't think she like really like brought it into the house at all, which is, you know, she didn't know any better, but, so I was around like the Mass side of things, but never like morally, nothing, none of that sort at all. So,
and so that was you all, were you public school through?
I was public school. Okay. Yep. Etowah. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Yes.
And then, you said middle school. There was something in middle school.
Yeah. So when I got into middle school, that was like the time where I think I did start to like, I never really questioned like if God was real. I always kind of, I mean, I always like to say this. He has really graced me with a gift of faith. It can only be from him. But I like, it's not just with him. It's also like mermaids when I was little. I literally believed everything was real if you told me that it was real.
Okay.
So I never struggled with like the, is he real? Is he not real? I kind of like, I had a feeling he was. I just like wasn't taught anything about it. Going into middle school was kind of like my friends decided to start going to this like Protestant, maybe non-denominational. It's called Woodstock City.
Okay.
And so that was like all the cool kids were going there. So at least it was like some sort of faith. And to be honest, I don't remember much about like the formation there. I remember being in small groups and like, you know, talking with the girls about like faith. And we had, it was like very much like a band, like, you know, the Protestant, sure, like there's, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to go and see. And there's like a little bit
get
of
your latte.
Yes.
Like, you're a motivational speaker.
Donuts. Yeah. Yes. And that was honestly, it was an interesting experience, going there. And I, at the time I didn't realize it, but looking back at my, like my faith, like seeing my faith now and the Catholic faith, and then like seeing it then again, I know like not bashing them or anything. I just not sure like if they knew how to run it or, I'm not sure, but
are you talking about the church as a whole, or are you talking about youth group?
Right now? Youth group. Okay. The youth group at the church that we were going to.
Okay, so what was that like? Yeah. Like, I'm always curious about this because I, you know, I dabbled around sort of the Protestant denominations for a little while, but I never went to a non-denominational church. It wasn't really a thing when I was growing up. I think there was one in my town when I was growing up, but it was mostly Baptists with a few Methodists and like the oddball Presbyterians who weren't sure where they fit in, but. What did the moral formation actually like look like? Were there moral messages involved in the church? What did would you talk about in a youth group? All those things.
So I never went to like their services. I did only go to youth group, but so we'd go in and the night kind of looked like we'd walk in and then we'd see like the stage and the band and everything. And then they'd usually have some sort of game with everybody. And then after that, you'd break up into like your small groups. And then for us, it was all women from, I want to say like Cherokee High School, Etowah, like by school.
Okay.
For us, it was by school. At least it felt like that. I'm not sure. I wasn't, you know, I was just following everything, but I did feel a sense. And again, like looking back at it, like in the moment, I didn't know about this, but like looking back at it, I was like, wow, we kind of just like sat around and it was like sob stories of just like how bad can your life be so that you could get attention? Because we're all middle schoolers and we're all we want to be loved. We want to be, you know, we're seeking all of that, but it was kind of a disordered place to find that instead of the truth.
It was just sort of like, I don't know. And don't even put words in your mouth. Was it just sort of like trauma dumping? Was that the idea?
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not sure if that was just like us as women or if it was like the leaders that kind of like led us into that. I don't remember that much. I'm sure the women there were trying to do their best, you know, leading and everything, but.
Well, and yeah, I feel like, excuse me, for a lot of our sort of pseudo Protestant, non-denominational, you can dress up non-denominational however you want, but essentially it's Protestantism, right? It's melding of Baptist, Pentecostal-y maybe stuff, right? But I feel like a lot of it, and we're guilty of this too, as Catholics, as somebody who's led youth groups and been to 100 different retreats and stuff, of trying to create this like emotional environment,
That's
right?
Where
you're
going
to feel like, I had a girl one time who said, I used to think that it was only at my church that I could like really feel God. And then I went to a Taylor Swift concert or whatever. And I realized I just like music. I was like,
exactly.
That's the pitfall of having so much reliant on emotion.
Yes. Yeah. I love this topic so much. I could get into this, but it's not, but I will say this, like, just like the Eros and like agape love. And like, we have that with like, you know, community and each other, but we also have that with the Lord. And a lot of the time retreats and like the music, like that's beauty. That's this Eros, which is a way to like, you know, see God and to like encounter him, but then it becomes easily disordered, especially without like the Eucharist and the sacraments. I found it can be like easily disordered to become like, I'm grasping at this now and it's not pointing me up to God. I'm just like, this is a feeling.
Yeah. I feel like you can sort of hack into our brains from with music and with emotional stuff. Yes. Like you can absolutely do that. You can't hack into our intellect though, right? You can't make something be true and make sense logically that's not. And so an easier way to do it often is to sort of go around that logic piece and just really drill into the feelings and the emotion, especially if you're a part of some religious community that doesn't have like a philosophical history of the church, right? Yes. I say this 100 times on the show, but a great thing about being Catholic is that when you're struggling with your faith or you're having difficulties, you can go back and find some monk from 1700 years ago who answered every single question you've ever had. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you don't have that, you have to make up for it. You have to make up for it with emotion. Right. You have to make up for it with all of these different, sort of ways of, I don't want to say manipulating cause that's too harsh, but, just sort of getting into the mind of a human being. And I feel like you're usually relying on sort of their non-intellectual faculties to do so. Okay, yeah, sorry. Exactly. So you were in middle school. You were going to this youth group at this Woodstock City non-denom church.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so that was like kind of just a season. And, you know, I think I went other places too, maybe like a Methodist church at one point. But yeah, I just, that was a memory that was there. And then, yeah, after that, after middle school, I really didn't, that's when life started getting crazy, mm-hmm. actually. And I didn't find the faith again until about junior year in high school. So there was
any
like,
faith, you're saying? Any
no
version?
Faith. Yeah.
So you only went to that youth group through middle school?
Middle school. And then by the time I got into high school, there was a lot of like me grasping at like relationships. And like, I didn't really, also my parents were divorced when I was in fourth grade. So that had a lot to do with like,
okay, well, can we take a step back and talk about that a little bit? If you're comfortable talking about that.
No, of course, let's do it.
I'd love to dig in a little bit to that, right?
For sure.
So what was the impact of that?
Yeah. So this is funny because I actually believed a lie for so long because my parents, they are amazing. I love them so much. And they did such a good job at like keeping me and my brother out of the mess, keeping us. And like we had three things I think that we wanted to keep. And it was our school, our sports, and the house that we lived in. And they made it all happen. And I know it was like extremely hard for them. But because everything worked out so like, quote, perfectly, I believed the lie for so long. Oh, this didn't really affect me at all.
Right.
Which can get messy because it definitely did.
Right, sure.
And then growing up too, like they were both flight attendants. So it was hard kind of having like one parent gone all the time. And I think that does something to the dynamic of a family, which I've like been starting to learn more deeply. I'm actually plug if, well, I guess this will be on the air before, after this, but I'm going to a retreat with my mom this weekend about, families with divorce. So hopefully I'll dive into more that I don't know yet.
Right.
But yeah, so the lie that I believed was more of just like it didn't really affect me. But it was mostly I saw the result of it in my relationships and especially through high school. And when I said like, oh, my life was a mess because I would start to grasp from like maybe there was like a father wound. And also like I didn't know God the Father yet either or that my heart was like made for him. Mm-hmm. So that place, like that longing, that ache, which is so incredibly like just profound in every human heart. But like for me, that was being placed in humans and especially like boys. Mm-hmm. And that was all through high school. So I had like a boyfriend and then I literally like started dating someone as I was like breaking up with this boyfriend. And I just couldn't be alone because I was trying to fill that.
So like a serial monogamy kind of thing.
Right.
It was just,
Yes, exactly. So yeah. And then that kind of like distracted me too from like, I guess more of like the family stuff, because after my conversion too, like I started to become closer with my parents in like a deeper way because of the faith and because of like these new eyes and like, I think wisdom that the Lord has just like shown me. But, before that I was just kind of like, oh, like they're my parents. And like, I didn't even know how much they did for me either. Like that was like when I like through my conversion, I actually realized like, oh my gosh, like my mom and my dad, like they gave up a lot for me or like they did all of this stuff for me. And it just, I don't know. I never realized it until
that's a great thing about growing up, right?
Yeah.
Is realizing, oh my goodness, it turns out my parents actually loved the heck out of me.
Yes. And they did
made
so
all these
much.
Sacrifices.
Right. And, So that was kind of like, I guess my journey in high school. And then,
so can we dig into that a little bit? Just the high school stuff.
Right.
Did you have like, I always go back to this question of morality. I was saying on another episode that, I just gave a talk to a bunch of dads the other day and the title of the talk was something about like what your kids wish you knew or what you're missing or something like that. And basically to prepare for it, I talked to a ton of high school and college kids, guys and girls. Right.
Okay.
And I basically said like, tell me what you think your parents really knocked out of the park and tell me the stuff and what a lot of them came down to from a criticism was, my parents didn't have conversations with me about stuff that actually mattered. There weren't the moral talks. We didn't really dig into like, I mean, across the board, all the girls gave some version of, I wish I'd been told I was loved more. I wish I was told I was beautiful more. I wish somebody had actually explained my dignity to me and all this stuff early on. Did you have any of that? Was there somebody having this conversation with you? Cool.
So there's two sides to it because like my mom did such a good job of like really teaching me and showing, cause she's a solid person. Like she's very secure. So like that kind of fed into like my security and like who I am kind of thing. It wasn't necessarily like identity in God, but it was like you're worth, you know, like you don't put up with this kind of stuff. So with girls and guys, both, I was like, you know, I got a little bit of that and I use it to like where I thought it needed to go, but I didn't have the guidance of like what, like let's see, like the sex ed talks of like, oh, and not even sex ed, like theology of the body talk, like
why this is actually good, like, right. and why you should wait this long, or like birth control, like what are the teachings of the church on that, and like everything. Like, there was none of the moral teachings on that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And yeah, unfortunately, like, that had a lot to do with like the way my relationships were, because sure. like with women and stuff, I was like solid, like, I know not to put up with this. But with men, I still knew, like, I'm not going to put up with this. But there was a side of me that was like aching and longing so much that I just was like, threw my hands and was like, well, anything to get the attention.
Right.
Right.
What do you think that was? So, what do you think that came from?
Well, one, lack of just knowledge, and two, that ache in my heart.
Yeah.
So,
which we all have. That makes yes. you a human being. Yeah. Right. We yes. all ultimately just want to be, like, we want affection and yep. we want attention. We want exactly. love. We want respect. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. So, I think, yeah, so she kind of knocked it out of the park with that. But then there was also like the teaching, like, I think when my, well, let's get deep real fast. When my parents figured out, like, okay, she had sex, like, mm-hmm. let's put her on birth control. That was the response, which is, again, not their fault. Maybe they didn't know better. But for me, oh my gosh, like, that ruined how I thought of sex and everything, and like the love between a man and a woman.
Wait, what everywhere. Did? What ruined it? Sorry.
Like, just being like, oh, here, just go on birth control, because this is going to fix whatever, right. like, or this is a fear now, like, which is so disordered, because it's so beautiful.
And I remember, you know, having similar conversations mm-hmm. with my parents, more like shouting right. matches, right? But mm-hmm. and it was this idea of, well, you're going to do this anyway, you clearly right. don't have control of yourself, so just make sure that you're being right. quote unquote safe about it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is probably the opposite of what every 14, 15, 16 year old needs to hear.
Right.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Right. And that goes back to, once again, not a criticism of your parents, not a criticism of my parents, mm-hmm. but just this idea of, like, kids need parents. They don't need yeah. friends. They don't need
right.
adults who are going to nod and wink at mm-hmm. them through moral crises or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's, I don't think it's coming from a place of maliciousness ever mm-hmm. with parents, or 99% of the time it's not. It's coming yeah. from a place of ignorance usually.
Right.
Because
yeah.
your parents, probably like my parents, probably like the vast majority
they
of
just
parents,
weren't taught that
wasn't
that.
A thing.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It, mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier about how we sort of have the generation that raised us, mm-hmm. right? And you're probably 10 years younger than me, but
yeah. Yeah.
had this, yeah, that's good. Had this sort of world that they were born into that still yeah. had at least the vestments, at least the trappings of right. like a moral, like a culture that pointed you in a direction of things yeah. that were good. Sort of the old trappings of Christian civilization right. hadn't yeah. totally sloughed off yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are 20 some odd years later, and they're all out the window. Right.
right.
And if you don't have
yeah.
mom and dad, like, pointedly trying to right. make sure that you're going in the right direction, and like trying to make sure you're part of a community of good people. And like,
yes,
what
yeah.
were your, what was sort of the culture with mm-hmm. friends and stuff like that? Do you
yeah.
have any?
Yeah. So this is actually a big part of my story. So the women that I was friends with, they were like, I had a pretty solid friend group in high school. But yeah, we didn't know how to like love each other. So mm-hmm. it was lots of use and like, how do we get attention kind of thing.
Right.
Lots of trauma dumping. Mm-hmm. And all of that. But it was actually beautiful, because once I started coming into the faith, I thought like being friends with them and like everything, that was like normal.
Right.
Like I guess I don't want to like the meanness. What's the right word I'm looking for? The harshness of like words or yeah. Just the way women, high school
vicious.
Girls. Yes, yeah. exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that that wasn't normal, because that's all I knew growing up. And like, I had the same friend group pretty much growing up all through high school. And so once I like started to find like friends that were like in the faith, I remember actually this specific moment at, I was hanging out with Bella, and it was like a Life Teen, Christmas party. That's where it was. And we went to dinner, and I remember like feeling this like anxiety of like, oh, I have to get the, like my dinner and then like sit down at a table, because if I don't do that, then like, I'm not going to have a seat. And because for my whole life, it was like fighting for my life to like be included, because
right.
if not, you weren't thought about. Like, if mm-hmm. you weren't there, you weren't being thought about. And so I remember having this moment of like sitting down at this table, and I have my dinner in front of me, and I just had rushed to go down and like sit there, and the table ends up like filling up, and all of a sudden someone comes up, and this person that's sitting in front of me like scoots their chair back, and they're like, please have my seat, like, and pushes a cooler by, and like that way like everyone can like be around and stuff. And I'm like, I would never have given up my seat at
right.
this moment in time. Like, that's crazy. Like, why would they do that kind of thing? But like, then there was a part of me that's like, wow, that was actually really nice. And like, that makes sense. Like,
so I, similar mm-hmm. story. I literally remember
yeah.
when I like it first dawned on me that I had like a real friend for the first time.
Right.
Like, yeah. And I had a lot of friends. I was a quote unquote popular guy in a lot of ways, right? In high school and whatever. And I had a lot of guy friends and it was all just friendships of utility, right?
Yep, exactly.
It was all like, hey, let's just use each other so we can go and do all this stuff that's going to be fun. And so we can chase girls and so we can get drunk and so we can do X, Y, and Z, right? And it wasn't until I was in college and I had this guy who was like really not being nice to me. Like he was really being unpleasant about some things that I needed somebody to tell me hard truths about.
Right.
And I had this dawning revelation one day of, wait, he like actually cares about me as a human being.
Yeah.
And it was really cool.
Like, wow. Yeah. Like where did this come from?
So you're in high school. Mm-hmm. You're not in a great spot. Your friend group isn't especially strong from sort of a moral standpoint.
Right.
And all these things. And what happens next?
Yeah. So I, I switched dance studios and the second I switched dance studios, which was, that's a whole other story, but we won't get into that. I met this friend, her name's Sylvia. I love her to death. And she was talking to someone else in the locker room at this new dance studio about St. Michael's or something, or some retreat that they were going on. And I was like, huh? Like, and something in me was just like, I go there, which like I go there. I hadn't probably been in like forever, but like I knew that I was baptized there. It was like something was like, that's home to me. And so she kind of like started to invite me to mass and invite me to Life Teen. And then this was junior year in high school. So I think I was probably 16 or 17.
Sure.
And you know, and I was like, I was open to it. I didn't really have like a reason not to go or anything, but yeah, so I ended up, the first time she invited me to mass, I tried to go. This is my favorite part of my conversion story because Satan is just not creative. And I broke my ankle the Sunday I was going to try to go.
Okay.
So I couldn't go.
Right.
Well, the next Sunday I was trying to go. I think that was probably like a month later. My tire popped, which is funny because like still, like I just went to do something this weekend and my tire was like, had popped on the way there, which was like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like Satan always uses my tires for some reason, but this was my first encounter with like spiritual warfare. And like, I had no idea. I was like, my ankle's broken, my tire pop. Why can't I get to mass? You know, but she was so persistent. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll start going. And so I finally tried the third time and I made it and we're good. And I didn't really have like this like profound moment in like going to mass and, like going to Life Teen or anything, but I did start to get deeper into it when coming back to that story, like at the Christmas party, like finding those friends.
So was that Christmas party story in high school?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
So that was like after I started going to mass, after I started to go to like Life Teen, I graduated and then.
So I know why you went to mass originally, the Sylvia girl. Why'd you go back? Why'd you go the second time?
Okay.
I always think that's more interesting than the first time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think part of it was probably community and the other part of it was probably, just like the longing in my heart. I was like, if anything can be better than like where I'm at right now, like I want to try it out. And like, and also at the same time that I was starting to go to mass, I picked up this book from St. Paul Evangelist on KSU campus about rediscovering Jesus. And I started to like rediscover him.
Is that
in
a Matthew
book.
Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. We'll put that one down in the show notes.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Off air a second ago, you shared something that was super interesting.
Yeah.
That if you're comfortable, I'd love to dig into.
No, yeah.
We're still with Tessa in high school.
Yes, we're still with Tessa in high school. So yeah, it was funny because during this like coming back to the faith and like going to youth group and finding these new friends, and just like receiving new morals and, you know, reading this book and kind of starting to get an idea of like what the Lord like, what his commandments look like and like, what does this mean for my life? Well, my boyfriend was living with me during this time.
And you're in high school.
And I'm in high school.
Can you like, just logistically, like morality aside, right?
Yeah. So logistically, this is what happened. So we were dating and my mom has kind of like the parenting of like, you know, you're going to
give him a name.
Out.
Can I call him like Gary?
Yeah. Let's call him Gary.
His real name wasn't Gary, was it?
Yeah. No.
Okay, good.
Gary. Yeah. Gary.
Yeah, young Gary.
So yeah, my mom has this like parenting style, which honestly I'm praise God because I probably would not be where I am today without this because I was so stubborn. But she was like, you know, like hands up. She always wanted my best interest, but like, you're going to figure it out. And like, I want you safe kind of thing, but like, you're going to figure it out. And so Gary's family wasn't the best. He didn't have the best upbringing, bless his heart. But so when COVID started to happen, I started to spend a lot of time at his house and, you know, sometimes we'd sleep over already or he'd come over and sleep over at my house or just what it would just, the night would get like, like it would be late at night and then all of a sudden, bam, like we're, you know, still right. sleeping over. So yeah, this kind of became a habit, and then eventually COVID hit and the whole world shut down. So I started to move kind of out of my dad's house and move full time with my mom. Mm-hmm. And then at this time, Gary started to also, Gary, sorry, this is funny to me. Good name. Yeah. Yeah, it is a good name. He started to also kind of fully move in with me because mm-hmm. my mom didn't really like the idea of me being over at his house just because it was very toxic with like just the siblings and the parents sure. and all of that, which was, it, you know, that was hard and to be around. But it, I think it was honestly better for both of us. You know, like God has a plan. And I don't agree with like sleeping with your boyfriend. Oh my gosh, don't do that. Right. But like, you know, at the time, maybe that was good for him too, to get kind of like on his feet or whatever.
But he actually moved in to your house?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like fully.
Like, I don't mean a pearl clutch, but that's pretty,
no, that,
that's
I
pretty
know.
Wild. That's
no,
a,
that, I know.
Yeah.
And I honestly, cause like chastity is a huge part of my story too. Mm-hmm. And just like the redemption of this mm-hmm. like distorted view and like obviously living with someone, you like, we were pretty much living in the like terms of marriage just without the sacrament.
Right.
And, which is dangerous. That's right. not, yeah, no, it ruins a relationship, completely. And so, yeah, that relationship got really, really rocky. And then at the time I like, yeah, I was still like, just, there was a part of my heart that was aching. And I was at this time, I was like, okay, I think this is going towards the Lord. And I'm like starting to want to learn more about the Lord. And then at the same time, I'm like, okay, starting to put boundaries on this relationship. Like maybe we shouldn't do this, or like, maybe we shouldn't do that. And maybe you should actually, they got to the point where I was like, maybe you should actually like move out and only come over on the weekends. And he did not like that yeah. at all. Understandably. Cause it's like what you're used to. And like, he didn't understand like my heart and what I was going through.
That's the whole, yeah. it's Jason Everett or somebody who's got that mm-hmm. great, he's got a great talk where at the end he says, ladies, yeah. if you're sleeping with your boyfriend, just tell him you're not going to sleep with him anymore and see what happens. Right.
Yeah.
And that will be the indicator of, do I actually love you, or do right. I just love what I can get from you?
Yes, and whatever. Exactly.
Okay. So that's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah, no, it was. And it
what
was
like, your dad thing. I'm sorry yeah. for interrupting.
Like, no, that's okay. I know. From a dad's perspective, I right. get it. Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, cause I didn't live with him anymore too. So I don't like, he didn't have a lot of like say in it. I'm actually not sure like what he super thought about it, right. but he was probably the same with my mom. Like, she's going to do what she wants kind of thing, but wow. let's just like try to have her best interest, which again, they weren't taught like theology of the body.
Yeah,
and,
once
like,
again, I do think it's, yeah. I don't think any of it's malicious.
So,
I think it's ignorance, right.
right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like with that, because I'm now not living with him, there was probably nothing in his mind that was like, oh, like this is a problem because I'm not with him. He's not seeing it.
Right.
But yeah, so.
Okay, cool. So what yeah. does Gary, how does Gary take it when you say, hey, maybe you shouldn't live with me because we're in high yeah. school and also we're not married and also a thousand yeah. other reasons. Uh-huh. And you had that conversation by virtue of the life team stuff you're going to? Mm-hmm.
And okay. just like my, like this new like flame in my heart for like the Lord and like to follow him. And I didn't even know why I wanted to follow, because getting out of that stuff's hard too. Like, you know, like, because now you're like, you're used to this stuff and it seems good and it's, you know, it's all disordered. So just like getting out of like sin like that, it's right. very, very hard. And so, wait, what was your question?
No, I was just asking how Gary yeah. took this whole situation.
Oh, yeah, right. So he did not like it at all. Like the second I said, I'm pretty sure he blew up in flames. And I was like, okay, because now in my heart, I'm like, I'm scared because I'm not ready to like lose him yet either. And I'm like, well, let's take a step back. Like, let's go back. And then I think the moment that changed was like for me, because at this time too, like he's living with me, I'm starting to get bored. Like I had everything that I thought that I wanted. Like my boyfriend's living with me. Like I have everything. Like he's buying my food. Like everything, like I have everything I could ever have wanted right. and that I was longing for, like, or at least that I thought I was longing for. And I was the most unhappy that I have ever been in my entire life.
What does
life.
That mean? What does unhappy look like? How does that manifest?
Unhappy. Yes. Okay. So that looks like, honestly, like bored with the relationship and like this place of like, oh, this is all, he's here, but I don't like, there's something off about this. Cause like, I should like be excited to see him every night, but like, I wasn't, because it was just like redundant. And like, was that the right word? Redundant. And like, I would just see him all the time. And it was like, there was no self gift, because mm-hmm. like man finds himself through self gift. It was all use. So right. when there's no self gift and sacrifice in the relationship, it becomes very, yeah, stressful, number one, mm-hmm. which has caused some of the unhappiness. And then also, yeah, just like a boredom and like, I don't know what I'm doing. Ugh, I just don't, it was like this cloud of like, I just don't know what I'm doing, but I don't like it.
Right. I mean, realist. I mean, that's yeah. the issue with cohabitation in general, right? Regardless of your age, but especially when you're 16, 17 years old, right?
Yeah.
Is cohabitation is different than marriage because, number one, you're lacking any of the grace that comes with the sacrament of marriage. And number two, right, you're living this life that's sort of wallowing constantly in sin while making excuses to justify the fact that you're living in sin. I am firmly convinced, and people can tell me that I'm ignorant and don't know what I'm talking about here, but that even if you're totally secular, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in any of that stuff, I do think that you have this understanding that this is unfulfilling, right? When you're living and sleeping with another person.
That was the perfect word, is that it was unfulfilling. And it was really disappointing because I thought that that's all the things that I thought was going to fill me. Right. So it was like this like longing of like, this stuff's going to fill me. And then it just totally being completely the opposite, totally unfulfilling. So yeah.
Okay, cool. So can we, let's keep going with youth group and all that stuff.
So this is funny because so during that relationship, I knew at a certain point, and I don't know like when that was, but there was a certain point where I was like, okay, I think this is probably not good for me. And like, I need to find a way out of this. But again, I've been dating this guy for 3 years. I think I probably tried to break up with him for like a few times during that time too, because there was no firm foundation. So I ended up starting to like this other guy. Right. And, but obviously like there was an attraction to it. And of course everything at home is like, you know, my mind is so removed from that because it's so just, there's no foundation there. So my mind immediately goes towards this cute guy in youth group and he was serving with us. And so
let's give him a name.
Okay.
We already got Gary. Stanley.
Stanley. Okay. Stanley. Yeah. Okay. So Stanley is engaged actually.
Oh, how old is Stanley?
He was older than me. He was probably, Gary was also 4 years older than me.
Right.
Two. So Stanley was probably the same age as him about. Yeah. So yeah. So Stanley was engaged and I remember this, I remember Stanley getting unengaged at a certain point and I was like, this is my sign. Like I need to break up with Gary over here because like Stanley's now not engaged and like this is a huge deal. And that was honestly, and the Lord knows my heart, that was why I broke up with him, was because I had this like my mind on someone else, which is like a miracle because like, what are the odds of that happening all? And like, bless his heart. I mean, they were not end up getting married, but
I ended up breaking up with a long-term girlfriend that I had throughout high school and the beginning of college because of another girl who I never dated.
Right.
Which ended up with me marrying my wife. So it's kind of cool.
There you go.
I like what you said about God knows my heart. Like, hey, listen,
he does.
You suck in all these ways and your heart is hardened in all these ways. I still know how it works. I made you. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. Enjoy that.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened because like with this guy, Stanley, I was able to get out of this relationship. And this is another one of my favorite parts of my conversion story because I broke up with Gary the day before Easter. Yeah. And I like resurrected with Jesus the next day. Praise God. Cool. Yeah. But it was not easy, but it was good. And so anyways, then Stanley, he kind of was the one that introduced me, and that relationship didn't get like deep. He was just really a friend that like, it got closer a little bit, but there was nothing too deep to it. But because I liked him so much, I like really cared about what he had to say. And so he was the one that introduced theology of the body to me, which was
cool.
Healing, very healing. And then at the same time, I was like, well, I want to impress him. So I'm going to go to daily mass every day.
Right.
What? Awesome. Like, I just converted. Like, what do you mean I'm going to go to mass every day? And so...
What do you mean you just converted?
Like, I'm freshly, like, in the...
But did you go through, like, confirmation and all that stuff?
Because
you haven't even received First Communion yet when you started going, right, to Mass of St. Michael's?
Yeah, no. So that part of my story... So that was happening still, like, at the end of high school. Mm-hmm. And this was really interesting because, again, COVID was happening and... I ended up going through Bella's mom, Lisa. She is awesome. She led me through this thing called Decision Point. I think it was an online confirmation thing. And then for First Communion, I literally just like went to a regular mass and like the priest okayed it. And I got like three classes. I talked to Sylvia's mom. She was my sponsor for like three times to like understand what the Eucharist is. Like, what are you receiving? And of course I'm like, I kind of understood it, but I didn't get it fully yet. But I think honestly, in my opinion, I think the Lord was just like, I want you to have these graces and just like,
so I think we all end up like thinking that we're supposed to have, like, don't get me, I'll go off all day about the bureaucracy of the church and how ridiculous some of the things are when people really just want to receive the sacrament and receive grace. One thing that I'm always frustrated about is I have an 8-year-old daughter, but she's in first grade. She repeated kindergarten. And as a result, she can't go to First Communion, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure she has a better understanding of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist than anyone else in the, like,
yeah.
who's teaching the communion classes and all that, because she's right. a kid, and it drives me crazy. But there were so many mm-hmm. events in my life and my sort of reversion to the faith and all, because I was baptized Catholic, wasn't yeah. pregnant, all that, came back.
Yeah.
Where I look back and in hindsight, I see all these stupid decisions that were done for bad reasons
right.
that ended up leading mm-hmm. me to become like to embrace the faith. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, Amen. Those stupid decisions were actually really good decisions, right?
Right.
Everyone was always there saying, yeah. nope, you're going to like, this is dumb. And it's going to seem like you're messing up your life for a little bit.
No,
it's going to
yeah.
be great when you turn around. And using mm-hmm. my own pride and selfishness, right?
Yep.
What attracted me to the faith, the Catholic faith originally, was the fact that nobody I knew was Catholic, and it was literally like this weird thing.
Yes, me too. Like, oh, I'm cool. different.
Yeah, I'm different. That like, makes me cool.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm going to take this weird ancient religion super seriously, you losers.
That's how I thought.
I really know. Yeah, I got secret knowledge you don't have. Uh-huh. And it was totally my own pride.
Yeah.
Right? My own mm-hmm. vanity and all these things yeah. driving me towards this, but God
uses
it.
Everything. Yeah. He uses everything. Yes, exactly. Yeah, amen. That was the same case for me too, but
cool.
Yeah, so I received communion, and obviously I did my first confession. I was able to do my first confession, which this is actually really interesting too, because I ended up doing my first confession, but I was too scared to confess a particular sin, so mm-hmm. I withheld a sin from confession, which, like, at the time I think I probably knew, but it wasn't like there was still a little bit of ignorance mixed in there right. with it, so I don't know how much grace I was getting, but I received communion, and then I did confirmation still in this state of like I hadn't confessed a sin. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually I go on this life teen retreat here at, mm-hmm. at Hidden Lake, and I did the consecration to Jesus through Mary.
Yeah.
And so Bella invited me into that, and I really had no idea what was going on. I was like reading it, you know, and I was like, ah, this is cool. Like a rosary for a whole week. Oh my gosh. Like, you know what I mean? That's how right. I felt about it. And the second I get to that retreat, I end up doing the consecration, and I'm not even kidding you. Like, this is kind of like before, the Gary story, but I end up coming back from that retreat, having done the consecration. And that time, if you think about it, all those graces, because I also confessed that sin
right.
at that retreat too. And so all the graces from that consecration, my confirmation, communions, I don't know how right. that works, but
finally,
bam, yeah. just whammed into me. And so I got home, and that's like where also the courage came to break up with this guy that I was living with. And I was like smoking, like not like smoking, but like, you know, nicotine, the little vapor thing. Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
So
and
lame.
Yeah, right.
At but least they're cigarettes
so
look cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. but like totally addictive too. So right. it was like, I was having a hard time like getting like ridding of those, and they were always around me. And I will never forget coming back from that retreat and just like having this like courage and like, honestly, this grace to like not think about that stuff, break up with this guy, completely restart, and just like have this desire to really like start going to mass and stuff too. And right. that was the 180, like Mary Magdalene, everything kind of turned around moment. And then
really
we went
cool.
up from there. But
okay, well, let's go up. I'm excited
yeah,
about
let's
that.
Let's go up. Yeah.
I'd love to get into that.
Yeah. So I think, let's see, where were we? Well, with Stanley. So that's like kind of where my desire started to go with like, kind of like impressing him or whatever to go to daily mass. And like, that's where I started to like, really, there was a particular summer that this was happening where I, obviously the Lord was not calling me to mission or anything because I wasn't there yet, but and honestly, I didn't really have a big community either yet because I'm at the KSU Catholic Center. That's like where my community is mostly. But at the time I wasn't really close with anyone there. And so I was really just going to mass this whole summer just by myself and kind of diving into a lot of books that I don't even know.
Is this after high school?
This is after high school. Okay. This is like freshman year of college. So okay, I think cool. this is probably after the first spring semester of college, maybe. Yeah, I think okay. it's first spring semester. So,
but you're like holding out straight and narrow. You're doing the things you ought to be doing. You're going to mass.
Oh yeah.
Doing,
yeah.
Really cool.
And this was another big moment of my conversion, I think too, is I started this 9-month novena, which was crazy. I don't know where that came from. Mary was just like, I got you. And I was like, okay, girl. And so I started this 9-month novena for, healing and for, discernment with like where like my life is going to go. And there was one more thing and I can't remember it right now, but those were the two big yeah. ones. And so it was funny cause I don't know if anyone listening or y'all know Father Jim Blount, but he does like healing services. He's very charismatic. And so I don't even think he's in the United States anymore. I'm not sure where he is, but I ended up getting to go to one of his healing things, like in the beginning of that novena and at the end of it. And he had this really cool thing because he's like, first of all, vessel from the Holy Spirit. And like, at first I was a little skeptical, but the second time I went, he did not have a message for me. But the first time I went, he said these words, he said, "Let Jesus form you, not your friends." And that just like, oh my gosh, struck my heart, because I was trying to impress this guy and like these friends and like become like this person who I really wasn't till, so that they would like me, especially the guy. Sure. And so that just like really pierced my heart. And I was like, oh wow, he's no joke. Like this is, I mean, not him. It was the Holy Spirit through him. I mean, he's a beautiful vessel, but like really just God just piercing my heart in that moment. And that was like a fruit, I believe, of that novena. And then also like just with the sermon and stuff, it kind of like changed my directory. I'm like, I was exercise science and when I started college, and that brought me into health and physical education, which is like PE teaching, which I'm still there now. And it was like such a blessing, because now like my best friends are in that community too. Right. So yeah, there's so much fruit from that summer and like starting that novena and just like continuing that out. And
that really is a grace though. It really is. Like you talk about sort of that dam of grace finally breaking over you.
And yes.
Then, I mean, so that's like beautiful. A 180.
Oh, it right, was. Life. And beautiful. It was so beautiful. And like after, and I still had like an issue trusting the Lord, obviously, like right off the bat, because that took lots of time. But like he was so gentle and like kept using these relationships in my life to kind of just pull me towards him and to pull me towards truth and everything. And to like slowly but surely like weed out these things that I was like so attached to and like, you know, grasping.
I just love how quickly that happened in your life. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I'm like 17, 18 years post conversion, and I still suck like 45%.
No, right? Same. No, yeah. Same.
I don't know. I'm a fan. Okay. So you're out of high school. You're in college. Mm-hmm. You've had this great 9-month novena. Mm-hmm. And then what?
Yeah. So now I think this is like where most of like the community started to come in and like really just like, well, I started to date another guy, which is funny because this guy was the reason why I started doing holy hours. So it's every single person kind of like got me into like the sacraments more and more, which is fine because it was really just Jesus pulling me in. But he was like, oh, you're going to hear me through this way. So here we are.
Sure.
But so I started to spend a lot more time in like adoration and just like kind of seeing like where the Lord was like guiding me like more deeply and like how he loved me and just like seeing him and like honestly learning how to trust him, because that was like the biggest thing. And so I think my community at the Catholic Center at KSU, that was a huge thing, especially my girls there. Oh my gosh, we are so blessed. Like, it is ridiculous how much the Lord has blessed us in friendship there, because I genuinely like, it is such a gift. Like,
and what does that mean? Talk to that a little bit, because we focus a lot on this show about community and how important community is.
Yeah.
It seems to come up almost every single episode. And so that was one of my questions, is what does that community look like now? How does it look like in contrast to past understandings of what community and friendship looked like? Because I think I think so many of us, like we were saying earlier in the show, have a whole lot of friends, but we don't actually have anyone that really knows us.
Yes, exactly.
We don't have anybody who actually loves us in the way that we ought to be loved. We have lots of friends of utility. We have lots of surface level friends, but very few people, I know this is true in my life, that I can say like, no, let me actually like talk about stuff that's bothering. Talk about things that actually matter.
Yes.
And not be desperate to sort of like jump through all the hula hoops or whatever to avoid offending people. Like, can you talk a little bit about the contrast between
your
community
definitely.
Now and your community before?
Before, yeah. Well, so yeah, I think the community before in high school was just, again, like a lot of just disordered selfishness and friendships. And then coming into the faith, you know, it was more life team. But at the Catholic Center, I found like just, first of all, the community as a whole, we're all on the same campus. So we have that to kind of like relate with. And we have events every single night, KSU Catholic Center, daily mass at 12:30 and free lunch at 1:00. So if anyone's interested, come by every day except for Fridays.
No way.
So that really builds a community of just like having lunch with each other too. But like, as far as like girlfriends and like that, like these women just love, like, I know they love me, like in my mess, in my everything. And especially like in particular, Bella, and I'm going to just bring her up again in her family, because like we had like a rocky kind of start in our relationship, and there was just like times where she just loved me so well and like forgive me for like, and I had no idea how to be a good friend. Like, I was coming out of like not knowing anything about being a good friend, and she just like received me right where I was at. So that was just so beautiful. And like, I think that was something I was meditating on in the beginning of this year too, of just like how well she has loved me and how that has like helped me. Like, her witness has been able to like kind of transform my heart to then love others too.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's also funny because our friend group at the Catholic Center, they, we all kind of, not all of us, but I notice in my life, I know we have, like, I have different relationships with each of them, but like, there's always one of them that's like always going through the same thing that I'm going through at a time. And it's not the same one, but it's like, there's a, and I'm sure they can agree on that with each other too, but like, there's something particular about like our discernment and like just things in life as college students and as women that like the Lord puts on our hearts at like similar times. And it's a grace, because like it's easy to feel really alone. And
well, and I always feel like it's so important to have friendships with members of the same sex, right? Guys need good guys in their lives, and girls need good girls in their life. Yeah. And the fact that you've got great relationships with members of the opposite sex, like, all right, that's cool, I guess. But you really need people. Like, we are created differently.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I will literally never understand you the way that that one of your girlfriends, the way that Bella might understand you, right? It's just not possible.
No, because we're so different, and it's beautiful, the complementarity between men and women. But just, I mean, yeah, it's so necessary to have like your women to women relationships and to relate on that stuff, because like what goes on, this is actually really funny. There's this girl who's young that I know, and she sometimes when she starts crying, her dad will come up to her and he's like, no, it's okay, you don't have to cry. And she's like, but I'm a girl and you know I'm emotional and I just can't stop crying sometimes. And you know, that's just the reality.
That's totally fair.
How we,
with my own wife, sometimes I have to have conversations. Okay, is this one of those where you just need to like get this
just
out,
get it
or do you
out.
Actually want to talk about solutions? Because I'm I'm here for solutions.
Yeah,
but if you need me to just like sit here, I'll do my best to
amen.
Like,
and that's so good. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so again, the complementarity is so beautiful, but like it is necessary to have. And like honestly, like coming from a woman, like I'm gonna be more comfortable sharing deep parts of my heart with,
because
a guy that I'm not dating, like, or if I am dating too, there's like boundaries there, but like if I'm not dating you, like you don't get that part of my heart.
Right.
So it's like, you know, but it's also, you know, the difference.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, okay. So right now you're at KSU. What year are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior at KSU. Do you have like next step plans? What are you?
Yeah. So I'm not sure yet. It's wherever the Lord will lead me. But he's been really working with me with trust recently, which is so beautiful. And I think that came from, I guess like kind of to finish off like my conversion with like guys and stuff, I ended up being in this really beautiful relationship finally with like purity and everything. And it just healed so many parts of me. But I think coming out of that, I was able to be like, wow, Lord, like this was so good, but you're actually calling me to something better. And I don't know what that is yet, but like, I know I can trust you because of the way you like, Jesus swooped in and just took a hold of my heart and like in tangible ways. Like, oh my gosh, I have so many miracle stories about that, but also like in deep personal ways in my heart too.
That's beautiful.
To just trust him. So I don't know where I'm headed, but here we are. We're trusting.
Do you spend a lot of time reading Thomas Aquinas outside of seminaries on park benches?
Trying to
coach college? Okay.
Not Thomas Aquinas, but I am finally reading the full text of Theology of the Body from John Paul II. After going through many books of like the, you know, like Jason Everett's like Theology of the Body and Hour. I've done all those, like Christopher West, all of them. But I'm finally like, you know what, Lord, I'm ready to like dive into this deeper. And
So highly recommend. I teach a Theology of the Body course, and I'm all about it. I
mean,
it really gets to the heart of sort of the issues with our generation, right?
This,
and not just, I don't mean just like our generation, but like this time period in the West, this relativistic, modernistic, post-sexual revolution emptiness.
Yeah.
Right? And he diagnoses and it's beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
And the big lesson that I just really try to hammer home of Theology of the Body is, your body and your sexuality
is
really
good. Amen.
It's beautiful. And it needs to be used correctly like anything else.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's this good thing. And it's not something you need to feel bad and dirty and gross about.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we're almost out of time.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to give, if right now I brought in a girl who was similar situations, right? Divorced parents in high school and really dealing with issues stemming with her dignity and all of this. And what piece of advice would you give to a 16, 17 year old girl?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think like the basic things, definitely like the sacraments, daily mass, adoration and confession. Confession, oh my gosh, is a huge one, especially if you're dealing with just like sin, because it's, you know, it brings you out of that. It really heals you. But again, just like for me, it was so hard for me to trust the Lord. And again, I can go through so many stories, but just like, it sounds like easier than it is, because it is so hard to trust him. But like, he truly has your best interest. And like, he truly, his, like, let him dream for you. Like, he knew you in his mind before, you know, before you were even here. So it was just, it would literally just be as simple as to trust, even though it's not very simple. But
no, I get, and I like how I like how you've come back over and over again. Yeah. It's hard. Right?
Yeah. And
a
like,
lot of times we pretend like, yeah. And then I found Jesus and everything was perfect.
No, it's hard. It and still to this day, like I still, every single day, I find things that I'm grasping at and I'm like, nope, Tessa, the Lord has shown me his kindness and his goodness and I'm not going to grasp with that. I'm just going to give it up. Like truly surrender it in my heart. And this is not just like a one-time thing. This is every moment surrender and be like, Lord, you have given me good gifts when the times I have surrendered this and I know you're going to give me good gifts again. So I trust you.
Praise
period.
God. Awesome, Tessa. So. Well, this was really fantastic. Thank
yes,
you so much
thank
for coming.
You.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for getting in all the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We had another 2 hours.
I know, right?
We got a lot of stuff I'd love to dig into, but we don't.
That's
because that's all the time we have today.
Yeah, we're totally out, but maybe in part two.
Yeah, maybe so. Thanks for watching. Yeah. Thanks for listening. This has been AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. Thank you, Tessa.
Thank you.
Listen, Honest to God. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.